Welcome to Parents' Perspective. What's the matter, honey? Karen asked her 15-year-old daughter, who was sitting on her bed amidst a pile of clothing. I thought you were getting dressed for Darla's party tonight.
I don't know.
Melanie sank her head in her hands.
Doesn't seem worth it, that's all.
Worth it? Karen sat down beside her, incredulous. She's your best friend. How would she feel if you didn't show up?
Yeah, I know.
Melanie looked down at the floor.
But since Dad's being transferred at the end of the school year, I don't know.
It is hard, honey. Karen put an arm around her daughter's shoulder. It's hard for all of us, but that's the way it is.
Well, I'm tired of the way it is, Melanie shot back. Why can't we stay in one place for a change? Why does the Army have to do this to us?
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about military children? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has worked with a number of military children and comes from a family of them as well. Diane Ursano is a licensed clinical social worker in private practice in Montgomery County, Maryland, specializing in family and couples treatment. Diane is also consultant to the Lodge School, a middle and high school for students with psychiatric illness and emotional adjustment, operated by Shepherd Pratt Health System. She comes from several generations of what she terms military brats over the last 100 years. She's the mother of two grown daughters and grandmother of one grandson and a new granddaughter. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Diane.
Hello, it's good to be here.
What makes military kids different from other kids?
Well, you know, I thought before I go into that question, I had some statistics here that would help explain how military children are separate from regular society and yet a part of regular society. Military life is hard. There are frequent deployments, frequent training exercises, long duty days, weekend duty, frequent moves, as we've heard, fear of death or serious injury, distance from extended family, separations from parents when they're deployed, and financial strain. But military life also has benefits. First of most is financial stability. That includes retirement benefits for the adults, health care, community and sense of belonging, education and job training, overseas assignments, and becoming a part of a tradition in which patriotism and courage are seen as valuable traits. Of the total military today, we have over 5,300,000. Of those, military family members comprise 56.7% of that military population, and it includes active duty, National Guard, and reserve families. So it's quite a hefty amount. It doesn't reach World War II standards, but we are certainly there. 44% of military members have children, and like all parents, they're concerned about their children's well-being. There are 1,900,000 military children in this country. Of these, one-third are under the age of 5, newborn to 5. Over a third are ages 6 to 11. There are 22% who are 12 to 18, and about 7% who are 19 to 23, and those college students who still identify with their military families. So one-third of military children are under 5, two-thirds are under 12. Last September, about 200,000 children had military parents who were deployed in the war zones of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Africa. About 70,000 single parents have deployed since the beginning of this conflict, and that was June 2006 numbers. And probably a more startling figure, it's almost 1,200 parents who are married to military members who deploy at the same time and leave their children at home to be cared for by extended family, mostly grandparents, but other arrangements are often made. Military members know that they have to have family care plans in place before they are ever deployed so that the children are taken care of. But the strains in the family, you know, make it very difficult. Now, military kids are like any other kids. They have the same wishes and hopes and desires. But unlike other children in our society, they also have a certain advantage in that at least one parent is full-time employed and secure in that job. They have universal health care. They come from families that tend to be well-educated, up until a few years ago, 100% of the volunteer force had at least a high school diploma. And I don't think you can say that about the general population. In the last couple of years, it slipped to between 80 and 89% because of the contingencies of recruitment, I would suppose. But these military families place high value on education. Now, the data says that military children are brighter, they can be more successful, and they're more mature in general because of the fact that they move around a lot, they're faced with different cultural stressors that they can rise to. They live in highly cohesive communities. If they live in base housing or post housing, they have a community that is safe to play around in. It's well integrated by race. And I think part of the idea of the military family, children especially, is that the community can be a physical community, but it's also an emotional community. So even when you're not living within the community, your connections are there by stint of similar experiences. But military kids can develop, with John Shaw, who is a former military psychiatrist, said, hypersocial skills. They become so adept at managing changing situations that their skill level has increased to a point where they're also able to mask their distress and their insecurities about how their lives have gone. In the book Military Brats, Mary Wersher talks about one of the problems of military children, and that is that they often don't have the opportunity to work through long-term relationships, all the ups and downs of being in a friendship that lasts for more than just a year or two. And as a result, at least anecdotally from the people she's interviewed, when military kids grow up, some of them have difficulties in maintaining long-term relationships. So that's a long answer to your initial question.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on military children.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with social worker Diane Arsano about military children. What would you say is the biggest beef that military kids have? Would it be something like the move, or would it be something deeper than that?
You know, I was initially going to say the move, and I think that holds when we have a permanent change of station at PCS. I think the move is a big one, but I was thinking about the idea of living on a military post or installation, and I recall when my dad was stationed at West Point when I was in middle school, it was like a wonderful playground for kids. We could go anywhere and do anything. But there were places you couldn't go, and you knew that everyone was looking, that you had that small town benefit for the adults, but maybe not so for the kids, of everyone taking an interest in the well-being of the children. So you could run, but you couldn't hide if you were up to any kind of shenanigans. But I think really, to get back to it, it is the move. It's disruptive to life in that it takes so much of parents' energy to prepare for these kinds of moves. The military member parent is getting ready for the new assignment, wrapping up the old assignment, and can be distracted. The non-military parent, usually the mom, is wrapped up in figuring out how to pack up the household, clear quarters if they're living on a military installation, which is, at least in my experience, a grueling inspection of how well you've maintained the house and are able to leave it in move-in condition for the next family. And then packing up all of your earthly goods onto a truck and watching it go. And for some families, that happens on a quite regular basis. I remember one of my experiences when my husband was stationed in San Antonio, Texas. We had packed up everything we owned, put it on a truck for a move back to the East Coast at the beginning of a tornado alert.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, no.
I have an older sister who is married to a West Point graduate, and when they were a young couple coming back from Germany, they flew home, but all their earthly goods came on a boat, which they then heard was taking on water a day and a half out of New York Harbor.
Oh,
so
oh,
everything made it through. But I mean, I think every military family has these semi-horror, semi-humorous stories of, oh, in the nick of time and but for the grace of, you know, we were able to manage this move. So when a child has a distracted parent who's worrying about how to manage all of the different layers required of these moves, then the children can feel left out. They can feel frightened or worried about what would happen next. And then they have their own world of how do you leave friends behind? How do you say goodbye? I think I spent my childhood writing letters to people and keeping relationships intact through several different moves. And now I can barely write a note. It's just sort of got out of my system at that point.
Is it easier for kids these days, by the way, to keep in touch because there's the internet?
Absolutely. The internet can keep kids in touch with their friends, with other military kids. If you look on the internet, there are lots of websites. And they can keep in touch with family members, too, as can family members.
Diane, what are some examples of the kinds of challenges military kids face, and do they differ for different ages?
I think all military kids are faced with the challenge of, like we discussed, the PCS move. Mm-hmm. Then there is the unique challenge of deployment, and that becomes age-specific in many ways. As parents are getting ready for hopefully only one of the parents to be deployed, they have to be alert to not only the practical side of the deployment, but the emotional climate in the family. So it's important for parents, especially the parents staying behind, to manage feelings of fear and loss and unsettlement in a way that they can then talk to their children in a less emotionally charged way about how difficult the deployment is, how feelings of sadness are expected, and even anger are expected, and even worry. Those can be expected too. But starting with the littlest ones, military parents can reassure their children that mom or dad has been well trained for the job. We know how to manage this. We can pull ourselves together and do the jobs that we need to do. I will be the mom who can also be the dad. Your job is to be yourself, to be a good student, to continue with your activities. And that's how you make the basis for the small children. And then as the kids get older, they're able to grasp the problems of the long deployments or the repeat deployments and probably talk at a more complex level. There are many programs that the military is running to help spouses manage this. They have family readiness groups in the Army to help prepare moms and dads for their spouse's deployment. The Walter Reed Army Institute of Research has a program that is an acronym, and it's called battlemind.org, and it speaks to the attachments and to the skills and to the trust and to the love that military families have to call on in order to manage the extreme stressors of sending someone to a place where they all fear there could be ultimate loss of death or the loss through serious injury. And the injuries in this current conflict have to do with not only physical injuries that we've all heard about, the amputations, the disfigurements, the traumatic brain injuries, but they also have to do with the psychological injuries. And I think about a third of the returning troops suffer some form of PTSD, mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress disorder that arises from the stressors of the combat situation or being in the combat zone. Now, Dr. Stephen Kosa, a former military child psychiatrist from Walter Reed, has written about the changed parent. And when the parent returns from combat, the child is alert to the changes in the parent. And whether the parent is very stressed and as a result detached or drinking more or more irritable, or whether the parent comes back severely injured and is noticeably different and unable to be there with the child, or when the parent comes back and has a psychiatric illness and is unable to be available emotionally to the child. And that's where the solid parent from the deployment is able to step in and point out that we can feel sad about these situations, and hopefully the situation is only temporary, and that it's important to stay involved in activities and friends. But there's a whole panoply of both difficulties and opportunities for growth in these sorts of settings.
I know a family whose son was in Iraq, and he came back to the Washington area to be treated for some sort of a shoulder injury. I don't know what. He was unable to mm-hmm. use one of his arms because of the shoulder problem. And he was treated and then sent back home. And he has horrible post-traumatic stress mm-hmm. symptoms where he can't work yet. Mm-hmm. He can't do any kind of job. Mm-hmm. He's being treated, but that's not a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And it's a major struggle for the family.
Yeah. Well, you know, some parents come back hyper-alert and vigilant mm-hmm. to dangers around. The ones who have driven Humvees and military vehicles tend to have problems reacclimating to the rules of the road. I heard of one young man who came back and talked about how difficult it was to stay on the road when he was near an open field because his impulse was to mm-hmm. take the vehicle into the open field away from where IEDs might be, the things that blow up and injure our troops so severely. So there are just many, many layers.
How can parents in military families help with some of these processes that are going on?
By participation in the resources that are available to them, they can become more skilled at parenting children in military families, especially those who have members going into combat. So there are family readiness groups that the Army runs where the stay-behind spouse is given mentoring and psychoeducation and social education regarding what the experience will be like. And it's a unit, a small group that you can go back to for support. The people you meet who are in the same situation as you are very, very important.
What happens when people come back and they're injured and the family really needs a very special kind of support? Is there something there available or no?
Yes, I think if you go back to your spouse's military unit, there are supports in place. In general, the military community tends to look after its own.
In what ways can teachers and other adults in the community be supportive?
I think the first thing that teachers and adults, community adults, need to realize that they're part of the support system for the military family. If you think of concentric circles moving out, the child is in the family who has the parents, and the parents have the military community in the unit, and then the larger community, and then the nation. So you perform a valuable function by being alert. Say if you're a teacher, being alert to the military movements that are going on in the installation near your school so that you know to be aware that there would be children whose parents would be deployed. And then take care to watch to see if the academic performance and the behaviors remain the same or if there's some changes in that. Talk to the child about the deployment. Express your gratitude to the child for the work that he's doing or she's doing and the work the parent is doing. If you have concerns about the child's performance in school, then contact the parent because military families do value education so highly and they are alert to wanting to know the signs of distress in their children. If you're a neighbor or a leader of a community group, be sure to reach out to military families and include them. Offer to babysit if that helps. Invite them to gatherings and be compassionate and listen to what is going on in these families.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on military children.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with social worker Diane Ursano about military children.
How can the extended family keep positive relationships from such long distances and constant moves?
It's very hard. We're a more mobile society now, and I would bet that lots of corporate families have the same problems. But I think if a family member, say grandparents or aunts and uncles, can't get out to visit the military family, or if they're overseas, some of the simple tricks that we can learn as long-distance grandparents, send cassettes with favorite stories read. Write letters and doodles. Send funny little whatnots in the enclosures, whether it's a little article or a funny magnet or a shell that you picked up that reminds you of a time with a child. I know we have the internet, and I know we have email and instant messaging, but there's something that is so immediate and yet permanent also about a handwritten note, you know, a silly card. There are lots of high-tech gadgets out there. There are photo frames that you can put in your living room that actually download pictures from the internet. And if you're a good grandparent or aunt or uncle and you have pictures of the mom or dad when they were kids or the most recent family get-togethers or something silly, then upload it to that magic site in the internet and it will download into your military family's living room and the kids can be surprised and thrilled to know that that immediate connection can be there. So these are just some of the hints. And when you plan visits, go as a helper. Plan week-long or weekend work times or play times with the family. Don't expect military family spouse who's left behind to be able to come up with things to do. And I remember when I was a younger married and my folks would come to visit, my dad would first say, "What can we do together here?" And it was just lots of fun. Took ordinary tasks and made them special.
What are some techniques you'd recommend to help military kids keep grounded amid an often unpredictable environment?
To the kids, I'd say, remember that you have special skills that travel with you. Mm. That you have your strengths and they come from the things you've learned in your life and from your family and from your friends. We know you're good communicators, so when something's bothering you, talk. And to the parent, I'd first say, turn off the television to protect from the bad news from the war front, and then keep your family moving forward. Your children will benefit so much from experiencing the resiliency of a family. So don't put off the hard chores or the fun times or the everyday tasks of life. The kids will learn from being able to participate. Years ago, we used to hear in the Army the story of the old sergeant who said, "If we thought you needed a family, we'd issue you one."
Oh, goodness.
Well, the military has discovered a married service member from a stable family makes a highly trained and reliable person. And so the whole military system values the contributions of not only the military member, not only the spouse, but also the children. And the children should be congratulated for the work that they do.
Well, it's unfortunate that we have to wrap up at this point, but before we do, Diane, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue further some of these issues?
Well, I think the first stop is the militaryonesource.com site on the internet. That's your beginning point for accessing, if you're the parent, accessing resources for your family. If you have questions about deployments, if you want to have additional information to help you raise your children in this kind of environment, that's really important. About a year ago, Sesame Street, in conjunction with a panel of experts, including Dr. Stephen Koza from the Uniformed Services University Medical School, developed a DVD and booklet called Talk, Listen, Connect. And it's using Sesame Street characters to tell the story of a deployment of somebody's daddy who's being sent off. Now, it's geared towards little children, but as adults, I think many of us have been reassured by watching this. And it's a good conversation starter if you can get the elementary age kids in. There is another website that I would recommend. It's called Courage to Care for Me. And that is also done at the Uniformed Services Medical School.
Is that .com?
That's .com.
Okay.
One word. And it is a program that's now being piloted at Fort Carson, Colorado. And they have little onesies that say, Courage to Care for Me. And they're given to new moms and dads for the new babies. And there's education and support material that goes with, and one-to-one support that goes with this opportunity. The Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences, usuhs.mil/CSTS. That stands for the Center for the Study of Traumatic Stress. And they study all kinds of disasters, man-made such as war and motor vehicle accidents, and natural disasters such as hurricanes. And they have many tip sheets that are helpful to parents and to teachers and to mental health professionals for dealing with some of the particular stressors related to military life and trauma. Then I found this wonderful site developed by a woman who was getting a graduate degree in library science. She was a military mom, had been married to a service member for 15 years, and this is booksformilitarychildren.com. And they are wonderful books that she's pulled together and annotated. So I highly recommend the site, especially if you're trying to manage young children. An afternoon story or a nighttime story about what it's like to have a parent in the service is very, very helpful for the little kids. For teens, there is one last one. It's www.defenselink.mil, and then it's /MTOM, and that's Military Teens on the Move. And they have a funny little site that will give teens information on how to scope out the new duty station, what to expect to go through, connections to other teens, and that's also sponsored by the Department of Defense.
Sounds like there are a whole lot of different options available.
Yes, there are.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, you have certainly given us a whole lot of information to use and to understand. And so, Diane or Santa, thank you so much for being with
thank
us today.
Thank you very much, Sandy. Thank you, Linda. It was a pleasure.
A gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 335 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Drew Chapp. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.